Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz. My guest today is Scott Ginsberg. He is the author of 12 books. I'm holding his latest in my hand right here. He is an awesome speaker, award-winning blogger, and producer of NameTagTV.com. He, as many of you have read my book, The Referral Engine, he was a complete nobody until that book came out, and I profiled the story of wearing his name tag every day. Of course, I'm just kidding. Scott, welcome to the show.
You made me.
I had fun telling your story, but I suspect there. In fact, I got numerous comments from people. I know Scott when they read the book, so that was fun. And you were gracious and made a tremendous example or illustration of a point I was trying to make. I forget what the point was, but you were brilliant.
Well, thank you. I'm still standing by for my royalty check, but I'm sure it'll come.
You bet. So you are. At least in my opinion, one of the most prolific writers that I follow. Your content that you put out on a daily basis, and then of course your books. We're going to talk a little, or at least I'd like to talk a little bit about your new book, which is kind of a cool format called Ideas Are Free, Execution Is Priceless, and you kind of have the daily idea or the daily idea about execution, and so that's the 366 thing, which is pretty, I think, is a really cool format. I think anymore it seems like people really seem to kind of rally around that snack size content, don't they?
I agree, and I grew up reading devotionals. I love them, and I write books for me that I want to read, so when I had this idea for a business devotional, I thought, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And it's easy to write, easy to read, people love it, and when I show it to people, I tell people, go read your birthday first, and so they'll flip to, you know, June 19th, and then it's like a fortune cookie, and they're like, oh, this is perfect for me, and I'm like, yeah, I wrote this for you.
That is a great idea. I have yet to flip to my birthday, but soon as we get off the phone here, that's what I'm going to do, of course.
Yeah.
My grandmother worked for 50 years for Unity, and I don't know if you know that church. It's based out of Kansas City, actually, and they had the Daily Word, which they sell to like millions and millions of people. And so we always had the Daily Word, you know, kind of devotional calendar sitting around our house growing up. So kind of reminds me of that. I get asked quite often when I'm speaking, I bet you do too, people will come up to me either afterwards or in public, you know, during the question session, and they'll say, look, I have this idea, but I can't tell you about it until you sign an NDA, right? And I, you know, I will just often tell them, look, you can tell me anything you want because, I mean, the ideas are, as you know, worthless. It's the, you know, it's execution, which actually I think is the thing that there's so little of. So I'm assuming you've probably had people do that to you as well. And so, you know, give me some thoughts on, you know, I agree completely with the title of this book, but, you know, why do we have so many people out there that are just, you know, ready, aim, you know, as opposed to actually executing?
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's so many different ways that people approach it. There's the ready, aim, fire. There's the ready, aim. There's the ready. There's the aim. There's fire. Yeah. And I don't think any of those work. I think there's a sort of a better way to approach it, and that's kind of what I try to get into with the book, is maybe ready aim isn't the best process. I mean, first of all, who says you need to be ready? I've never been ready, and I think readiness is overrated, and I think people have this huge barrier. Well, I have to be ready. I have to be smart enough. I have to be good enough. I have to have enough money. I have to know how or what I'm doing. No, not really. So there goes the ready part. Aiming, well, I don't know about that. I think it's easier to sort of let the customers aim for you and kind of put it out there and see how it's received. And then the idea of fire, well, fire isn't always the best. Suppose you're ready to aim fire. How about listening? How about leveraging? I mean, maybe if we just execute, just put it, just ship it, and then we listen to how people respond to it, and then we leverage what we hear, what we're listening to, then we can go back and we can do it right. Because it's like, it's okay to fail quickly and quietly and early in the beginning as long as you're not stopped by not knowing how. And that's a huge problem I think people run into, is they feel like they have to know what they're doing. They have to be ready. And part of execution is kind of getting over that and not being a perfectionist and just putting it out there and seeing what happens.
Yeah, and I think that the web, you know, that's one of the things the web has certainly enabled. You know, you can take a small little group and test something now, and nobody gets hurt, and you, excuse me, you can take easily take their feedback, their improvements, and you can go back into the lab, you know, open up the hood, fix something, put it back out there again.
Right, so, and that's...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, and I'm just agreeing with you. I think that's the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah, so of course I had to turn to my birthday. While you were answering there, and my birthday happens to be April 2nd, and document as you develop. And of course, you know, if anybody knows me, they know that I talk about marketing as a system, and as a, you know, series of checklists and documenting. And so you wrote this just for me, didn't you, Scott?
When I sat down, I thought, I have a feeling today might be John's birthday, so...
So talk about that one a little bit. And in fact, what I'll do is I'll just, I think this book makes it really easy for me to just grab a couple of them and say, okay, expand on that, Scott.
Sure. Well, the idea of documentation is if you don't write it down, it never happened. And I know that from every idea I've had that I sort of wrote it off like, I'll take care of it later. Or, well, it's not really a good idea. I don't need to write it down. It's like, it's not our job to decide if it's a good idea. We just need to write everything down no matter what. And so the documentation process is essential, because who knows if it's going to work? We could come back to it years later. And so every time you develop something, a product, a marketing program, a new client system, write it down. I mean, when I built NameTag TV, I didn't know what I was doing. I just needed to write down, what are the lessons I'm learning? How can I get better? And that's really how you sort of maximize your ROE, or your return on experience. You've got to document this stuff down, and we've got to go back and remind ourselves, wait a minute, what did I learn? What did I screw up? Okay, good. Get that down, and that way we can do better next time.
Yeah, and I've hung out with you a little bit, and you are a consummate documenter. I mean, you're constantly. I sometimes feel like I'm being monitored when we chat. You're constantly writing thoughts down, and I'm, you know, I'm I think you're a great example of that. I will tell you also, just to add on to that, if anything ever does take off and you plan to scale it, boy, you'll be really thankful that you even wrote down how you did some of the stuff when it comes time to get somebody else to do it.
Oh, right. That's one of the reasons I do it, is in the event that I need to outsource something, I say, great, here's the 14 steps that are going to make this happen. You're going to do great. Here you go. And then you can just relax, and they can relax.
Yeah. I'm just, because I can, I'm randomly picking some. Here's the next one. Develop massive intolerance for the inconsequential.
It's a treadmill, and I think people get caught on it on a regular basis, doing stuff that is just absolutely irrelevant. And whether it's checking email too much, and that reminds me, I did a presentation in Austin yesterday, and I had at least three people in the Q&A part ask about, how do I tame the email beast? How do I get over the email problem? And I'm like, what? I don't understand the question. And maybe I'm an anomaly. Maybe I just know how to get rid of that quicker. But if you don't have a filter for deleting email within 2 seconds of getting it, I mean, you should know immediately. And it's just whether, and I'm not like a productivity guy, but whether it's email or stuff that just doesn't matter, we've got to just not tolerate it. And you've got to have a filter. And it's not about productivity. It's about creating a filter for your life and a filter for your business, and setting boundaries where you can ask yourself a simple question. Is this what I'm about to do in line with my goals? Is what I'm about to do right now going to make me money? Is what I'm doing right now worth my time? And just create a filter so you can say yes or no quickly before you venture down that treadmill. And then you're like, oh, wow, it's 6 o'clock. I guess I'm done working and I got nothing done.
Yeah, I think you hit on, you know, an extremely crucial part of that, though, is in order to know what's inconsequential, you have to know what's consequential. And so, you know, that's the part that I think trips a lot of people up.
Sure.
Please, I'm going on to another one. I love this one. Please stop parading your poverty.
It's easy to complain about how bad the economy is or how crappy business is. But first of all, no one cares. Secondly, I don't think it's cool to hate your job, because that's another one of those like undertows that we can get caught into. And it's sort of like we get addicted to the sympathy that people give us when we say how crappy things are. And as opposed to saying, oh, job sucks, like, you know what? I got a great idea how to make this job better, or I'm making a transition right now, or you know what, I've decided to walk away in the next 2 months from this particular opportunity, and boy, am I just chomping the bit to move on. So just think of, in terms of being approachable, I mean, that's what I talk about, just think about the types of reactions you get from people. If you can have a more positive approach to it, maybe they might help you execute.
Yeah, and boy, as a business owner, you know, if that's the culture, boy, you can expect that that's going to go, that's going to run downhill pretty fast, isn't it?
Sure. It's people in the leadership team that are having that kind of attitude. And, you know, values, whether it's in a family or in a company, values aren't taught, they're caught.
All right, expand on that.
Well, the leaders might be having it sort of in the back of their mind. They have, well, we have this approach and this philosophy. But if the leaders have an attitude of sort of parading their poverty about the, you know, how bad business is, the people are going to catch that. You don't have to teach them the corporate value. They're just going to catch it, and they're going to start emulating it. And then, wow, before you know it, you've got 400 people that have a negative attitude. And, oh, wow, no wonder profits suck.
But obviously, it goes without saying, you can do the flip side. They can catch a good vibe just as easily.
Exactly. And it all comes down to, what do you as a leader want to infect your people with?
This halftime break is brought to you by Constant Contact. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits build great customer relationships with email marketing, event marketing, and online surveys. Visit them today at constantcontact.com and sign up for your free 60-day trial.
There you go. On July 11th, you're asking people to loosen your grip on life.
I tried this, what was it, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and I'm a control freak. I always have been, and I'm still a control freak, but what happens when you start to surrender control, some cool things start to happen. And I'll give you an example. So Jeff Jarvis wrote the book, What Will Google Do?, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal book, in my opinion, one of the most important ones in the past 10 years. Of course, right second to Referral Engine.
Yes. My listeners didn't even need that aside, but I thank you for it anyway.
Right. So in this book, Jarvis talks about how Google was so successful because they surrendered and they allowed user-generated content and they allowed people to plug themselves in. And I started doing this in my speeches, whether it was not talking the whole time and letting the audience complete my sentences for me, or on Facebook, I do the same thing every day. I do a fill-in-the-blank. And what happens is, when you kind of surrender and you're willing to be a little bit vulnerable in business and life, you open yourself to some cool stuff, some new possibilities. And as long as you're willing to listen and to leverage what you hear, by loosening your grip on life, you tend to invite some cool stuff into your world.
Yeah, that is, you know, such a great lesson. I think you mentioned as a speaker. I mean, I think a lot of times, and I've been guilty of this too. You get up there, and you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "What if they really know that I don't know what I'm talking about, or if they think I'm
right.
a fraud somehow?" And that in many cases, as you said, you know, makes you act a certain way, and maybe not receive what they really need to hear.
Yeah, and you've got to be willing to tell them. I mean, I do that. Every time I give a speech, and I did this past week for a Fortune 500 company, I got up there and said, look, I'm not the expert on this. You guys, this is United Van Lines. You're the expert on the moving industry. I'm not. So what I'm going to do today is talk about these things, and then we're going to do this together. It's not me giving a speech. It's us in this room, and we work together, and everybody shared, and everybody was offering feedback, and I was learning more from them than they were from me, and it was the talk of the entire 4-day conference because I surrendered.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, you got paid to learn.
Getting paid to learn and surrender, like, does it get much better than that?
It doesn't. All right, September 9th, purpose is the best bread. I'm actually working on a book now that is going to skirt around this idea of purpose. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So this is a devotional, although a business one, and most devotionals come from the faith spiritual world.
Right.
And bread is a very, very common metaphor, more so in the Christian world, but either way, daily bread is a concept that is your nourishment. It's which fuels you. And so the whole idea behind purpose in a small business is, you've got to know why you're doing what you do. Now, I'm in my office right now, and I'm looking at my wall, and I have straight in front of me from ceiling to floor called the Wall of Why. And it is pictures, it's emails from clients or readers of my blog or newspaper articles or just everything that reminds me, why the heck do I get up at 5 a.m. every day and do this? And what's cool is when you fuel yourself with that purpose, it gets you going every single day. And like I said earlier, don't be stopped by not knowing how. Be sparked by knowing why. That's the best bread in the world, and it doesn't even need butter.
That's awesome. I have this, are you familiar with Idea Paint?
Sure.
It's this paint that you can basically paint a giant surface and turn it into a dry erase board.
I love it.
And I have this 20-foot run of my office, the same thing, although mine, I love your idea because I do occasionally get the nice email from people, and I should be hanging those up, but I definitely do a lot of jotting of notes on my giant wall. Create a non-stick surface for March 5th.
March 5th. So this is my mom's birthday, and I had to make sure it was appropriate for her. So I was thinking about baking. I was thinking about baking cookies. What do you do when you're baking cookies? You dust the counter with flour because you don't want the dough to stick. And part of being a small business owner, part of being an entrepreneur is you kind of have to kick your own ass. You have to sort of be accountable to yourself. Otherwise, you're never going to refuel. You're never going to get into that flow state. And so because I work in my home, because I work alone, I take breaks every 90 minutes. If I'm cranking out for 4 hours, if I get into the zone, if I'm working on a book, I'll go play my guitar for a little while. And I think the whole point is we have to take mini vacations. We have to give our brain a break. We sort of unstick ourselves. And if we don't do that, our performance diminishes, and then the people that we serve, the people that matter the most, they're going to know it.
The I'm going to forget the name of it, but I read a little bit of a book years ago that the idea behind this book was that you worked 25 minutes, and I mean, you literally set a timer. You'd work 25 minutes, and then you forced yourself to go 5 minutes of not work, and then you'd come back and you'd plan your entire day that. And I know that I agree with that. I find myself sometimes late in the afternoon, and I'm thinking, what did I just write?
Right.
And you're thinking exactly that. I've got a dog hanging around here somewhere, and I usually go wrestle around with him for a while. We're getting near the end. October 1st, self-motivation stems from self-knowledge, and I think that's an important distinction.
I don't think it's possible to motivate anybody. I think we can inspire people to motivate themselves, but ultimately motivation is intrinsic, and to motivate yourself. If you want to get up in the morning and get cracking, if you're going through a tough time with the economy, there's a couple questions you should ask yourself, and I wrote a few of these down. So a big one for me is this supporting my empire? So if you get an opportunity presented to you for a joint venture or a new project, just ask yourself, well, I don't know. I mean, if it doesn't support my empire, I'm not going to do it. If this is a choice that's just going to rob me of my time and my energy, I'm not going to do it. And if this is a decision that's going to move me farther away from my values, I'm not going to do it. And part of being successful as a business person is you got to be a great decider. You got to know how to decide and not necessarily choose. Those are two different things. Decisions are agreements, choosing are tests of those agreements. So you got to know how to decide, and you got to know how to choose as a result of deciding. You do that, you'll motivate the hell out of yourself.
Yeah, and you know that filter, if people get used to using it, and I suspect you're good at using it, it also takes all the stress away. You know, gosh, am I passing up an opportunity? Is that person going to hate me? You know, I mean, it just makes it really easy for you to go, hey, you know what? I did the calculation, and the calculation said no.
And I think the key to doing that is you let people know you do it for two reasons. You say, out of respect for my own boundaries and also respect for your time, it's important that I let you know, here are the reasons why we can't make this work, A, B, C, in accordance to my values. So thank you so much for the great chance. And who knows, maybe another time. Currently, I will be respectfully declining.
Yeah, I actually, when my last book came out, I was going kind of crazy. And I finally just started telling people, I'm saying no because I haven't said no to anyone for a while.
Nice.
And you're just it today.
Yeah, welcome to draw. Yeah, and it's the old Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup. I'm not saying no to you. I'm saying yes to me.
Yeah, well, that's good. Let's end up on this one. Or maybe, no, this is a good one, but I'll find another one to end up on. This isn't a good one to end on. Teams degrade decision quality.
So there's this book doing research back in the 70s about teams and about decisions. And it turns out that we're sort of seduced into this like romantic idea that, you know, together everyone achieves more, or whatever team stands for. And I'm not against teams. I'm not against working with other people. I think one of the barriers to execution is waiting. And it's the old Emerson or Thoreau, whoever said, the man who goes alone can start today. So the question is, do you really need seven people on this project, or are you doing that to sort of preserve the illusion of control and teamwork because you'd feel bad if it was just two? And you don't want the quality of your decisions to go down because there's one person at the end of the table who always has to hate everything. So, and this is coming from a guy who works alone, and it's easy for me to say because I kind of run the show and I'm the only shot caller. But the question is, you know, how many bad decisions have you made because you're like delegating confidence to the group?
Yeah, I'm imagining the sort of mid-level people in large organizations are all standing up cheering right now.
Well, good. Then they can hire me. Perfect.
The day after Christmas, when the finish line is in plain sight, look out. I think that's a good place to end today.
Cool.
You got to tell me about that one, though.
Do I have to?
You do.
What day is that?
December 26th, the day after Christmas. So, you know, the idea here, you've done a great job. I have to tell you, I've had authors on before, and I've said, what did you mean by this? And they kind of go, you know, I have no idea. I wrote that book 18 months ago. I don't know what you're talking about. So, the premise of this one is, it's that last 10%. People start getting cocky, and that's where the wheels can fall off.
It's easy to happen, and I think it's a principle of physics, if I recall. A friend of mine who's big into physics and science and all that stuff talks about threshold level. And it's like you're right there. You're on the cusp of executing. You're so close. And it's that lizard brain that Seth Godin talks about, or it's that force. It's the resistance that says, not so fast. You're so close, but not quite. And I think what's key is when you're executing something, when you are taking action on something that matters and you're right there, you are so close, look out. Because there's something out there, there's a person out there, there's the resistance that's going to try to stop you. Because the resistance knows it's about to lose, and it freaks out. Says, "Oh no! Oh man, Ginsberg's going to write another book. Hang on, we got to let's get him into a car accident or something like that."
Well, or you know, how many times have you seen in a football game, you know, guy intercepts a pass. Sure. Runs it back 70 yards, and 10 yards from the end zone, he starts holding the ball up, right? And you know, falls out of his hand.
I know. But how many times in business do people high step at the 10-yard line and then fumble? And it's complacency, and you've got to sort of knock yourself off your pedestal, and you've got to install enough humility to say, okay, don't get cocky. We're almost there. We'll celebrate later, but for now, let's wait until we get in the end zone, because if you do that, people are going to tell, and they're going to see that as a vulnerable spot, and that's like the weakness in the Death Star, and they're going to beam you.
I'm talking with, hello, my name is Scott Ginsberg. We're talking about ideas are free, execution is priceless, and last thought, Scott, Pujols is going to look really nice in royal blue, isn't he?
Oh, wow. I think I just heard the sound of my heart breaking. Wow.
Couldn't resist myself. So, Scott, always great to talk with you. We could probably, in fact, I'm certain my listeners would enjoy riffing on this for a couple more hours, but I'm out of time, and I know you got to get back to it too. So thanks for taking the time to join me as always. And this is John Jantz, Duct Tape Marketing, telling you guys to make good choices. See you, Scott.
Later, man.